Hello and welcome to the DC Breezes podcast, Hot Air. My name, as always, is Greg Esser. This is episode number one of 2019, but in fact, it is episode number 43 since I once began this podcast idea in 2014, we'll call it my retirement from playing myself. 42 episodes in the hopper, 11 were last year. That most recent episode, I acknowledge it has been a while, was last August, right before the championship weekend of the AUDL. I had Daryl Stanley on. He recapped the Breeze season. In case you've forgotten, because I certainly have, exactly everything that went down that season, I'm bringing Daryl on again. It's the first back-to-back performance, I guess, other than my own, in Breeze Hot Air history. So I've got Daryl Stanley on, Coach Daryl Stanley, on the podcast again today. I want to get right to that content. There will be more episodes to discuss. I'll try again to kind of have that every other week cadence to the podcast throughout the 2019 season. However, I will not be hosting come June. There may be another host in the mix. Hot Air may go on a longer hiatus. I'm still figuring out exactly how that's going to occur, and I can give you some more updates in the future about exactly what's going to proceed at that time. But for the first 2.5 months of the season, you've got me, Greg Esser, behind the mic, and just churning out some more quality episodes. We'll talk about all the developments around the East, the housekeeping issues that I did want to address, though, beyond just the schedule, some of the things that are going on in Breeze Camp. They are still playing at Catholic University this year. Very exciting. Come out to the first home game. That will be on the 20th of April at 4 p.m. They play the visiting Philadelphia Phoenix. They will have one game before then, though. That is not truly opening day for the Breeze. First, they will play the team that knocked them out of contention in the playoffs last year, the New York Empire, and they play them in New York City. That's a team that has reloaded heavily over the offseason. And again, I'll have more content on exactly what those new rosters look like in the future. That home field, still at Catholic University, as I hearkened to, but a new field, a newly constructed field, so a cool new facility to check out. Another big change, and it's one that I'll talk a lot with Daryl about on today's podcast, is the Breeze and the AUDL has shortened its season from 14 games down to 12. Once upon a time, the AUDL actually had 16 games a season, so it's kind of making each game more and more impactful, once again, dropping it down to 12. Only 6 chances to catch the Breeze at home this year, so make sure to do so on April 20th. That said, I'm going to throw it over to Broke Royals, and we're going to kick this thing off. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for downloading Hot Air. Welcome back to Hot Air. This week I sit down with Daryl Stanley. He is right across the table from me. Daryl, warm up that microphone, and then I got an intro for you.
Hey, how are you?
Is it warm? Is it hot?
Not yet.
Not yet?
You make me sweat, though.
We're gonna spice it up on this episode of Hot Air. It has been a long time since I've gotten behind the mic, recorded one of these, so there's a lot of pent-up energy. We'll try to channel that into a hot ticket here today. Zen, I see that zen-like look in your eyes, Daryl. I'm loving what you're bringing to the table here. This is your fourth episode on the podcast, and I should look up the stats. I'm not going to do it. I'm pretty sure you become the number one co-star of Hot Air today, right now.
Whoa.
How does that feel?
I mean, I feel self-important. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're nailing it. You're passing both reigning AUDL MVP Roe McDonald. You're passing 3-year player and guy that joined me in the booth frequently, commentator Glenn Poole.
Oh.
You know, those you're passing those names of Breeze present and past. Pretty good.
Wow. I mean, you know, there's something to be said for continuity.
Yeah, you're just reliable.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm always around.
So We got some topics that I want to get to today. We can banter in the margins, and I'm totally into that. The first thing, we're going to talk a little bit more about 2018. I know you probably want to leave that where it is. We're going to talk about you coming in for your third year as head coach, what's changed out there. Let's talk about some of the personnel changes. We're going to finish it off with some changes broadly across the AUDL.
Sure.
And then we can just throw curveballs and spitball anything else. You've already survived all my segments, and unfortunately I've got nothing, no fresh segment, no audio clips of That's My Dad to play today. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So let's talk about 2018. So you've had an off season to marinate, to think about what you will take into the future of your coaching career. What is it that you will remember about the 2018 season?
Yeah, honestly, I think it'll be about, you know, the youth movement that came through. And us scratching out, you know, great wins at home against Toronto.
Yeah, we'll talk personnel changes today, but you experienced that a lot last year, and that youth movement is very real.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the other thing I think I'll take away from that is, like, honestly, that speed kills. And, you know, DC is ripe with players who are very fast, very hungry.
Yeah.
And if you...
Those younger, springier legs.
Yeah, if you...
Tighter tendons, them, tighter leg tendons.
Push them forward.
Yeah.
You never know. You can surprise some folks.
Yeah. There were some big victories throughout the year, too. You'll take some of those away.
Mm-hmm. No, those were... I mean, I've never felt quite the highs that I felt when we surprised Raleigh at home. And, you know, it was a very tight game towards the end. And then overtime win against Toronto. Those two were just, like, probably way up there as far as, like, you know, one-off, one-game coaching experiences in my life. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah. We, as you already reminded me off the record, you were actually my final guest of 2018, so you're also back-to-backing right now.
Mm. Bookends!
Throwing up bookends here on the podcast. And we talked about it on the last podcast. I might forget, the listeners might forget. Tell me about then that big loss that ended it all against New York. That has to maybe be one of the... And then I promise I'll leave 2018 behind.
Mm. I get the feeling that, like, somehow we built some sort of vessel in order to take two of every of our ultimate players and, you know, make sure that they survived in the 2019 season. Something like that happened. A great flood.
A Noah's Ark situation.
Who? No. I'm not nearly that religious. I just feel like we needed something to survive the monsoon. And,
yeah.
You know, luckily I'm here. I'm alive. And you're alive. And the breeds continue to march.
What hybrid player, if we can maybe take the breeding aspect of it away, but if you could hybridize two players in that Noah Ark situation of the 2018 Breeze to make the ultimate player, who I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, who are you going to Noah's Ark?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I think you got to take, like, the handsomeness and height of Lloyd.
Handsomeness plays on the ultimate field?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, man, that guy's just handsome. I don't want to hand block that guy.
Well, you see, he's 6'5", so that's how he counteracts, like, you know, your desire to
block. You don't know if they're not blocking him because he's got this gangly reach or because of just his general
They're just
good
mesmerized,
looks.
Right? It's like a Pokemon, right? Like, it just spells you.
I don't look at Pokemon the same way you do.
So, let's take Lloyd and,
And that left-handedness, you're going to carry that over?
I'll add a Rowan. So I got Crafty on the right hand, right? Yeah. And then, you know.
Oh, you're getting both dominant arms.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's a fully ambidextrous player.
Yeah.
Well-hided, fast.
Yeah.
And you said hybrid. Both of them play multiple roles. They're both cutter-handler combinations.
That's right. You've made Lloyd Blake, I feel like, into more of that hybrid role than he had been historically.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just like looking forward for Lloyd.
Yeah.
You know, I recognize that, like, having him as our reset... Just is such a waste. Yeah, he can break the mark, and yeah, he can get open, and yeah, people are afraid of him. But aren't they afraid of him downfield, too?
Yeah, sure.
At 6'5"?
Yeah.
It's not like he's, like, he's
and yeah, if you're afraid of him and you're giving him an under, that's kind of what he wanted all along, top secret.
That's what he wanted. Yeah. So, you know, I just tried to push him out of that handler space, and, you know, Lloyd is such a, you know, great guy, very flexible. He worked with that well.
Yeah. Okay, 2018 in the past. Now... 2019, you're head coach. The third year you've been the head coach of the DC Breeze, but many more years under your belt coaching in the AUDL, up in Philadelphia, in the MLU. What specifically has changed year three for Breeze or year X for Daryl Stanley in the head coach position?
I mean, you know what's cool for me is, like, I coach all year round, right?
And yeah, that's right. You're also helping out Maryland.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you guys had a very successful season last year.
That was the most special moment of my career.
Yeah.
qualifying for nationals.
That's right.
In the back door, the back door bracket.
That's right. Coming, and you're, you know, 30th ranked in a division where the top 20 go to nationals, so you're breaking seed.
Yeah. Upsetting the national finalists the year before.
That's right.
Wilmington. That was actually my most special moment.
Special.
It blew me away. But
breeze pun. Doo-doo, set the alarm. It's not an alarm. It's a soft wind wafting through the room. That's right.
So for me, it's just like this coaching year round thing means that, you know, I try to improve every off season or go into the beginning of every new season. You know, I take stock of what players I have. I take stock of what's changed around me, and you know, you just try to do better. I iterate. So that's all that happens for me. And you know, year three, I'm bringing what's fresh, what's working in these other places, and what I think will succeed.
Yeah, can you give me an example of one of those, you know, lessons learned in the last year that you think is being freshly applied through this tryout process, through the early practices preparing for opening day?
Mm-hmm. You know, it could be as simple as, like, I've got the experience now of being one coach amongst 36, 35 players.
Yeah.
You know, last year, coming into the breeze, that was something I had to really focus on. Like, how am I going to make this work? And, you know, we had line captains, and it was fantastic. For me, anyway.
So this you're more experienced, kind of creating a hierarchy around the coach of like player leaders.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like this great hybrid of, you know, what we used to do, right, when we were all player led.
Yeah.
And now as a coach, you know, just because the numbers and the speed of the ADL are just so fast.
Yeah.
That you kind of need to have a very streamlined communication process.
I remember, I mean, last year when you were talking about, you know, that very transition, I remember on this podcast you said it's going to be daunting, and I'm actually looking for assistant coaches. Are you settled on that model, or are you still thinking assistant coaches this year?
You know, we definitely looked for assistant coaches this year. You know, it's okay. I think with the experience I had last year, I feel pretty confident that, you know, another set of eyes is great, but at the same time, you know, I felt that I was adaptable enough. I was succeeding, and, you know,
yeah,
I managed my time during the week enough to prepare as if we were two coaches.
Right, so. And it sounds like, you know, you said, you know, one set of eyes, but really you're trying to leverage 30 other sets of eyes, just, you know,
right,
and piece them apart and find, you know, it's interesting equation within the ADL in general is that you take this massive roster of 36 guys potentially, and any given week only 20 play. And even amongst that 20, only 14 are getting real regular reps. So you've got a lot of extra bodies potentially around and interested and invested in the team.
It's interesting you say that because, like, it depends on the team, right? Like, last year you definitely saw me do that tighter, you know, here's
rotation,
my O,
yeah,
here's my D, right? And, you know, I had another unit of players come in and, you know, change it up a little bit. But then I look at, like, Atlanta, and they were fully egalitarian with their playing time. You know, they just... they had three lines. They just rotated through them. So, I, you know, even that isn't necessarily true. And maybe I won't go that route. Maybe I go more towards Atlanta.
Yes, yeah, so I'll put you on the hot seat. You know, if you were to speculate, which extreme do you think you would lie closer to this year?
Wow. It's interesting you say that. I think every year I come into the ADL season saying, you know, this is going to be the year where I really try to innovate. Right?
Yeah.
When I really, really, really go out there and, like, do something that maybe only works in the ADL. And I haven't really leaned into it. But this year, I really plan to lean into that. So, you know, I know that there are rival coaches that listen to this podcast potentially. So I don't want to get too detailed. But honestly, I think this year is the year I go all in on AUDL-specific tactics as opposed to trying to play standard ultimate on a bigger field.
So you evaded the question successfully. Does that mean you'll be closer to utilizing all 20 of those players with greater frequency, or does that mean you'll be closer to this is my rigid line for offense and defense?
I think it'll depend on how successful we are in implementing some of these, you know, more AUDL-specific strategies.
Got it.
If we do that, then, yeah, that should really balance out the playing time.
Yeah.
If I can't make that succeed, you know, or the people that I have, the personnel that I have that day, you know, maybe that's not their strongest set or strongest game plan, you know, I'll probably go back to that model last year. I thought it was clear. I think we have a really strong, experienced 14, 15 from last year who can just plug right in. They should be playing more unless the newer guys are able to acclimate quickly.
Those are the changes that go on in your mind. Let's talk about some more of the changes that are happening with the personnel you've been given on the field. And so I'm going to play the overdramatic member of the media, frantic about some of the huge losses the Breeze have endured this offseason, and you're gonna pat me on the shoulder, you're gonna calm me down, and you're gonna say, you know, let it go. I've got this fresh face that's replacing that role. I've got this group of people that are replacing that role. A little role play.
For sure.
Yeah.
I got my roles ready.
Good. I'll be the sheep. You be the shepherd. Okay. Reese Bergeron, breakout season last year, fun to watch, slotted into offense and defense, a spark plug, to use that cliche term.
Sure.
Broken this year.
I know.
Yeah, he's out with injury.
Yeah.
So how do you replace that dynamic young guy that looks really hungry and slots into a lot of your schemes?
Well, Quinn Bergeron, did you say? Oh, that's right. Oh, Quinn Bergeron.
Oh, yeah, there's a brother.
We have Quinn.
Yeah.
So there you go. Answer. No,
I think there are probably some nuanced differences between those two players.
Well, always, yeah. You know, Quinn's a little more seasoned in life. You know, but honestly, I think they bring similar traits. I mean, they're both, you know, they're cut from the same cloth of hard work, confidence, you know, athleticism.
And Quinn was on the roster last year, though. Yeah. You really saw the breakout from Reese.
Well, sure. I think Reese was just in a situation where he's playing ultimate more frequently.
Okay.
You know, he was at Virginia Tech and the captain of that team.
Yep.
And just really pushing them forward. I think that Quinn coming into year two is like, okay, this is going to be me. Mm-hmm. Like, now it's my turn.
Yeah.
Move out of the way, Reese.
Well, he's, yeah, the brother's laid up, so he's definitely out of the way. I am nervous about losing, I don't know what he's listed at, I'm going to guess 6'4", a captain last year who provided a needed outlet on defense to score points, but also a intangible leadership on the sideline. What are you going to do without Eric Miner?
Wow. I mean, it's really hard to replace Astro. Personally, I work well with him. I mean, he's just such a great communicator, a great leader. He works really hard. He's surprisingly one of the fastest people on the team that no one really realizes that. He's just very versatile in his role. I love him. So, in that regard,
not irreplaceable.
Yeah. You know. But as far as role on the field, I'm going to go with Chris Harrison.
So that's a name I don't know.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Chris is tall.
He fits the body specs.
Step one. I tried to call him 6'5", and he gently reminded me that he's not, but I gently reminded him that his arms are. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's that tall.
He could take flight if he flaps those babies.
Actually, though, it's unbelievable. You know, he brings a lot of similar attributes, right? I mean, he can handle, he can cut, he can play defense for us. Like, I just think that from a versatility perspective, from a length perspective, you know, this is a guy who I'm plugging right in.
Yeah. How about that leadership aspect, though? I mean, there's a name that I don't know doesn't sound like a guy that's going to step right into leadership.
Well, you're right. And honestly, I'm leaning towards people who have been around. I don't know Chris well enough yet to say.
Yeah.
Maybe he becomes a leader in time in year two, year three with the Breeze. Who knows?
Right.
But for me, we replace leadership with veterans.
Yeah.
David Bloodgood.
Yeah, sure.
And Nate Pryor.
Okay.
So those are captains alongside Rowan, of course.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that triumvirate, I've worked well with them for, you know, two seasons.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Bloodgood in that role, and it'll be interesting to see Bloodgood come back, because after a stellar 2016, he was laid up himself most of last year, so you're getting him back from injury.
Yeah, no, exactly, and David Shields, too, the two of them coming
That's right.
You know, straight out of the gate, fresh, not hurt.
Yeah.
You know, playing their late summer ultimate already.
Give me that inside preseason scoop. Those guys looking good?
They look very good.
Nice.
I am pleased.
So
the Davids will rise.
Two guys that relocated to D.C. in 2016 from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Both made the squad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then both named David.
I've been coaching so many, too long.
So many parallels. But so I alluded to Eric Miner's ability to be that outlet and score points on the to convert defensive points into points for the Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that underlies a larger issue that makes me nervous. You're losing David Cranston, you're losing Marcus Thal, you're losing...
Wait, stop. Cranston didn't even play a game.
Okay.
Next.
You are losing Marcus Thal, you are losing Rico Johnson, Troy Holland, you're losing nearly 50 blocks.
Wow. Wow.
How's that D-line looking in your head right now without that trifecta?
Honestly, I look at a couple people who, in limited minutes, showed that they could get a lot of blocks, right? Joe Richards.
Yes.
Alex Fall.
Richards is due for a step forward, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we brought on Matt Cullum.
That's right.
These are
former Georgetown guy.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to like put too much pressure on some of these rookies, but there's a couple of guys up there that are like getting blocks in practice. Kyle Vezina is a name.
That's right.
You know, the locals will know. I mean, he's flying around out there. He looks good.
Is it Vezina or Vezina?
You know,
I think it's Vezina. He's a former club teammate of mine.
Well, you would know.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Tell him my apologies.
Perhaps. I mean, maybe he's reinventing himself for the Breeze. He's like, that's like his show name.
You know, he's got a persona. I think as soon as he hits the field, he'll be hard to miss.
I love those
glasses.
He's that goggle guy. Yeah. He's that goggle guy that everyone's afraid of going on against Rex Specs.
I told him this season in practice is like the first time I've ever seen him without the whole getup, and I barely recognized him.
Okay, so those guys are, so you think those guys are going to come in limited minutes at the beginning, and maybe you're going to start, you know, knowing where you can find your blocks and waiting your playing time effectively?
I think Cullum and Joe are getting their minutes. I don't think there's any bleed in there.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll see. Kyle, Kevin Versteeg is also
that's right.
You know, a local Towson product who's, you know, he's kicking butt. He's very athletic. He's been seasoned on MedMen this past year. I think he's ready for some prime time here.
Now, there's one new addition
mm-hmm.
that I have heard about, but now I've heard some other things about that maybe is not an addition, maybe why you're not citing him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the Cole Sullivan off-season story here.
Oh, man.
Because he was originally signed by the Breeze,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a marquee signing for us.
Yeah.
You know, Cole's a lawyer. And, you know, I don't know how he had time in life at one point, but he did. You know, I think when moving up here, he had, you know, work circumstances where he had been working with the same company for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had that kind of cachet to be able to, you know, be flexible with the schedule. Recently, you know, he told me he was looking for a new gig, got a new gig. I just think that, you know, from a time commitment perspective,
sure.
Know, starting
and he wasn't living in D.C. proper either.
No. He was up, I think, Columbia, Maryland.
Okay.
I think he's moved further. Or actually in Baltimore, southern Baltimore.
Okay.
He's now closer. I think he's in Crofton now.
Okay. But still not, still a little distant to make it in here for everything.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
On a weekend, it's like doable, you know? So, but unfortunately.
But outside just, commitments sunk the ship.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, he leaves on good terms. And I think we can see him again. You never know.
Yeah, but without ever suiting up for the Eastern Division, unfortunately. But in Eastern Division, and I bring that up for a reason, is, you know, do you have half an eye to some of the other changes that are happening around the East? Because there is an empire being built.
If I had my head in the sand.
No, I don't know if we're going to get licensing on that deal. I don't know if your humming was accurate.
That was like 3 seconds. I think we're good.
Okay, good.
Fair use.
Thank you. Thank you so much for keeping it to 3 seconds.
That's right. It's a fair use license. It's there. I'm good. Yeah, you know, I mean, you have to have your head in the sand and not recognize what they're doing.
That's right.
You know, Toronto quietly also has brought back the same roster. You know, Mark Lloyd's back. Cam Harris is back. Andrew Carroll's back. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
So they're looking great. And then the Empire just loaded up.
That's right. Jack Williams going to New York City.
Grant Linsley. You know, re-signing Harper. They just announced that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, obviously Bo played for them last year. Just a wealth of talent.
That's right. And Ben Yacht, the guy that was their probably closest to their MVP candidate.
Yeah, he was unstoppable. Yeah. He had a great season.
Yacht and Mott, the terrors of the East. I actually, as much as I stumped for Rowan and think he is deserving of the AUDL MVP, I think the East put together a lot of good candidates last year.
Yeah.
And the other two in the East rhymed to me, Yacht and Mott.
They were incredible.
Yeah.
Well, also, the Empire added Brian Jones.
Yeah, that's right.
Like a master tactician in the most tactical version of Ultimate that's
making you shake in your boots more than the on-the-field additions.
It's hard to say. I mean... Probably.
Yeah.
It's probably in...
But you know, you know you're going to need to do some work on those days because you're going to be counter-punching each other, you know, and changing up the strategies.
And people don't know that Brian, or they've probably forgotten at this point, that Brian has AUDL experience, I mean, with the Rochester Dragons.
That's right.
You know, I could have had that leg up, but that won't be there either. So,
yeah.
You know, it's fine. I'm prepared for that. What else are you going to do? You got to play your version of Ultimate and try to... punch against a giant. We did it last year against Raleigh and Toronto. We had no business winning those games on paper.
That's right.
That's why the games aren't played on paper.
I didn't mean to agree so wholeheartedly.
Oh,
that's right. You had no business winning those games.
Sorry, 22.
So you want to? Can you peek behind the curtain then? Of your first game of the season is against New York.
Yeah. In New York.
in New York. So let me peer into your mind a little bit. You know, how do you approach that game, knowing that, you know, you're taking on the monster underneath the bed on day one?
We can't play their game. I mean, that's just the answer, right? Like, I think it's great because my players recognize that.
Yeah.
You know, it was not a hard sell for me to say that and for them to agree. But yeah, we just can't play New York's game of Ultimate. We can't play standard Ultimate and expect to win against players who've got more years, players who've done it at higher levels, right? It's just not going
to
work out.
Yeah, maybe that deltas in well with your line earlier, is that, you know, you're leaning in this year to some new strategies.
Yeah.
You know, early American football had coaches that broke the game repeatedly, so they had to rewrite rules.
Yeah.
And
hopefully it won't be like that.
No? They're not going to make a Stanley rule?
I don't think anything's that
controversial.
Yeah, right. More just like, you know, within the obvious confines of the sport.
I don't know. Some of Rowan's new throws I've been watching on the internet look like they might need to change the rules around them. There's some
wacky
ones.
Let's just say he might have the space to pull it off.
There you go. Last topic, so we talked kind of the team personnel rosters, but there's been some larger league changes as well, particularly a shorter schedule. The ADL, once upon a time, had a 16-game schedule, down to 14 the last couple of years. Now we're down to 12.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
12's good.
12's good?
Yeah. I mean, here's what sucks for the DC Breeze fans. We have lost two of our out-of-division games. Right. Last year we had Pittsburgh, we had Raleigh, and like the league was leaning all in on that. You know, new direction. An All-Star game is in its place. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna miss at least the out-of-division games. Those are really special. But for a shorter season, for a bit more focus, a little tighter, and to have the pop of an All-Star game, is, I think the trade-off's probably worth it.
It means individual games carry that many more percentiles of your final season ranking.
Yeah.
So
we can't afford to have the slow starts, the shock ties, the shock losses.
That's right.
That can't be a thing,
though. So knowing your season starts with New York and it ends Philly, Toronto,
yeah.
Does that mean anything in a context of a 12-game schedule?
I mean, I think so. I think, candidly, our best bet against Brian Jones, our best bet against Bo, all these people with all this experience is like, shock them, right?
Yeah.
The fact that we get to come in unfilmed, first game of the season, they don't know anything about any of my new players, anything about whatever I've been cooking up. They got no idea.
Yeah.
So, but I know that they're going to be sitting there probably playing their standard version of Ultimate, because what else are you going to do?
Right.
With these best players in the world, why you get creative?
Yeah. These guys are tried and true ways to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, and Brian's already very creative, which is what I'm saying. I think that gives us our best opportunity to shock the world.
Yeah.
Right? And then later on in the season, it's like, okay, you know, Philly and Toronto are more known quantities, right? We know how they're going to play. They know how we're going to play. And honestly, that matchup, it is what it is. And I think having them later in the season just means that, yeah, our roles are crystallized. We're feeling confident about who we are. I tend to get stronger throughout the season as I know more about my players and the division. I think that means that it was best that those games were backloaded.
So the thing that Brian Jones has used in some aspects for years, but got a lot of credit and a lot of press for last year in the amateur scene, was for running a really poachy defense, clogging up lanes a lot.
Sure.
You know, how do you, you know, do you give him all the credit due for that, and how, and do you think that's, you know, how would you react to such a situation?
He's got some smart players. He's empowered them with this system. And, you know, I look at Drost and Katz, you know, incredible defenders, really heady defenders. Honestly, the good news is that there's more space. And, you know, with more space means if you use
more space properly, on the pro field versus the amateur field,
correct,
of course.
Yeah. And if you use it properly, you know, it's much harder to cover that ground up.
That's right.
So, or you know, the lanes that you have to attack are not adjacent necessarily to where your stack is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that with some different spacing, some adherence to spacing, we can kind of isolate some of this stuff and make it so that maybe those poaches aren't as effective.
Yeah. You know? Certainly there's a line that Nathan Pryor has recited on this very podcast about the disc traveling faster than the person.
Mm.
And I look forward to, you know, the Pryor-esque sit in space, move the disc, don't overrun things, don't, you know, run into the poach, if you will. It'll be interesting to see Pryor go against a poachier Jones scheme if the Empire end up employing something similar.
Agreed.
So that's, I think, all the big things I wanted to get through today. But as I always do, I hand over a mic while it's still turned on to my guest. Is there anything in the life, the world, the ultimate scene? I've said it before on the podcast, and I'll say it again here. You are an assistant coach for the U24 U.S. team.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Have you been thinking about that more? Is there anything else you want to get off your chest while you've got a microphone on hot air?
Wow. I mean, U24, we're going to be in Heidelberg, Germany this summer, and it's just going to be amazing. I Bob Cryer and Joe Durst are great guys. We're coming up with a plan that we're going to, like, go see the World Cup, the Women's World Cup.
Oh, amazing.
Before.
In France.
Yeah.
Cool.
And just, like, you know, take a train over the TGV, I think.
Yeah.
Over to Germany.
Get your Eurorail passes.
Yeah? Well, is that what it takes?
No, so you can just buy your ticket, your round trip ticket. You can also buy on European Rail a pass for, I feel like I'm advertising for them at this point, a pass that gives you, like, unlimited rail rides within this month-long period, or six rail.
We won't need all that.
Because we're gonna be
in France for a bit.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna make one trip over to Germany, and we're done.
Okay.
And then we gotta,
you can do the unlimited trips, even, like, within a week.
You get,
like, a week pass.
Well, that'd be kind of cool.
Or you can just do, like, six train rides within France and Germany over a 3-month period. There's all different flexible ones that you get a little discount when I'm buy them in bulk.
Good.
Yes. The rail of Europe is far and above our expectations of the United States.
I'm sorry.
Ain't no Amtrak.
No. Sorry, Amtrak.
They're throwing shade on Amtrak.
Right?
Yeah.
I think over here it's like commercial rail, you know, owns the majority of the tracks. Right?
That's right.
It's not passenger rail that does it. So,
uh-huh.
What are you going to do?
Okay.
But I think going 300 miles an hour or whatever the train of grand vitesse does, I can't wait. I can't wait to, like, lose sight of, maybe travel to a different dimension. You know, maybe discover the Earth isn't flat. You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Twitter keeps telling me it's flat.
I mean, Kyrie Irving, too.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving. Perfect. Well, thanks for talking transportation with Greg and Daryl today. Thanks for talking conspiracy theories on Twitter. Is there anything else you want to get out here?
Listen, Anthony McClain is really good.
He is a third-time rookie for the DC Breeze
because
he's played two other years, but the Breeze keep putting him on their rookie list.
I mean,
and it is hilarious.
It's something about him. I mean, he's just like...
He's like a red-shirted freshman.
Every year. Every year. NCAA is like, haven't you graduated? What's going on?
Yeah.
No. I'm back.
A player that has also played phenomenal defense at times for the Breeze over his three rookie seasons.
The reason why I shouted him out is because I think he can just do a little bit of everything, and at a pretty high level. He's a good thrower, he's a good cutter, he's a good goal scorer, he's a good defender. It's just like, I haven't discovered the limits of his abilities yet.
Yeah, that's awesome. An interesting point that I rarely have brought up, and I just kind of thought of it right now, which is there's almost always a player on a Daryl Stanley roster that is the, you know, the seventh guy to my schemes that I need to plug and play with. The Chuck Cantone of the Daryl Stanley roster. The Ryan Swift of the Daryl Stanley roster.
Yeah,
two very good examples. And maybe I'm sensing a little vibe that there could be an inside track that McClain could play part of that role this year.
He feels very Swiss Army Knife. Mm. Very, very Daryl-esque.
Yeah,
just cool. Like, look at all these tools.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Excellent. Cool. Well, yeah, he'll be excited to watch as well. Thank you so much for coming on Hot Air. That's all I've got today. Thanks a lot for listening, folks.
Thanks, Greg.
Adios.